This show is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron sends gourmet recipes and all the fresh ingredients you need to make them right to your door. Our listeners get their first two meals free. Go to blueapron.com/Joey. Start cooking incredible meals at home with Blue Apron. blueapron.com/Joey. This show is also sponsored by NatureBox. NatureBox ships great-tasting, healthy snacks right to your door. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with healthy and delicious treats like dark cocoa almonds. Support this podcast by ordering a free NatureBox sample box at naturebox.com/Joey. That's right. Free NatureBox snacks are found at naturebox.com/Joey. The show is also brought to you by MeUndies.com. Go to MeUndies.com/Joey and check out the pics of all the men's and women's underwear. They have shirts, t-shirts, socks, really comfortable shorts. When you go to MeUndies.com/Joey, you're going to get 20% off of your first order, and they're going to also give you free shipping in the United States and Canada. Lastly, but not leastly, go to onit.com and use code word church to get 10% off of all of their great optimization products like Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, Shroom Tech Sport. It's code word church to get 10% off.
Oh shit, just when you thought it was safe, we're bringing funk back into your living room, motherfuckers. June 17th, 2015, good as it gets, baby.
It is dead.
Oh shit,
that's what I said.
The church of what's happening now. At least I am.
But his hope was a rope and his
Uncle
known.
Joe.
It's
my main homie Ada.
That was
Rodriguez.
Yes, I'm sure.
Looking like Whitney on the first album and shit tonight. Now Fred is dead. What's happening, Ada? That's a good fucking album, the first Whitney Houston album.
Absolutely it was.
The one with the head, dude. She was like 19. I don't even know how old she was. That's a good fucking album. Lee, what's the story, Doug?
I'm doing good. I almost died last night, but I'm doing good today.
What happened to you?
I just, it's my third jiu-jitsu class, and I think this was the first time that he went hard on me. So we did, it was all shots, and we did one for one, so I do one and he do one. And the first couple times I went, I was with this really small dude. But this time it was a big dude, a guy who was even bigger than me. And after that 4 minutes, I got like 45 minutes through class, and I had to stop. It's an hour and a half class, and I just couldn't, after 45 minutes, I thought I was going to, because the only other time I've thrown up in sports is freshman football practice. And it was hot in the summer, and I had all those pads on. And that fucking gi.
Jiu-jitsu? Grappling?
Yeah. I mean, it's my third class, so I'm not doing anything yet. But it's, it was just, it kept, like, I've never had, like, what you're saying, where you think you're going to pass out. But it just kept getting hotter, and it was like 100 degrees yesterday in the valley. And I thought I was gonna pass out. I just took my gi off in the room. I just sat down. My legs started like shaking. It was bad.
I'm worried about you. You said you haven't done anything, and it's your third class, and you thought you were gonna die.
It was what it was. It's shots. So it's like you're sliding in there, and you have to lift the other person up and throw them, and then get up, and then they do it to you, and then you have to get up and do it, and it's you're not supposed to stop. So it's just like I had gotten through two other classes at an hour and a half, but just that. Those 4 minutes just killed me. And you Zach was really cool about it.
No, Zach, people, not, listen, you work up endurance in those classes. You know, people always go, well, I got to get in shape to go in there. No, you know, you're going to get in shape while you're going in there.
Right.
Well, if you go to a strength training class at the YMCA and you haven't worked out in a year, it's gonna, the first fucking 2 weeks going to be a little rough. But then you get the breathing technique down, you start eating better, you sleep the night before, and there's just little adjustments that you make. And the same thing with jiu-jitsu. I told you. That it was like the first time on a jiu-jitsu, I saw stars. Oh, I left there like in shock. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like my body was in fucking shock. Like, what the fuck just happened to me? I was on my back breathing heavy. You can't breathe.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't.
It's hot, so the air is on the bottom. It's kind of warm, and that gi makes it 2,000 times hotter, quicker. Your body can't handle that if you're not used to it.
I couldn't cool down. Time. Because when I first started feeling sick, I just stood up and was like, okay, I'll just take a few minutes. But it kept getting hotter. Usually, I learned in wrestling to, like, raise your arms above your head so you can breathe and all that stuff. But it just, I had to turn one of those fans on that they have in the windows, and I just sat underneath it. I was like, I can't fucking.
And next week you do 47 minutes.
Right.
And the week after that you do 15 minutes. And next thing you know, it's, and that's where people quit.
Yeah.
That's right there. That's people's breaking point. Man, that was too hard for me. No, it's not. It's going to get easier the more you go, you know? So.
Right.
It's like fucking stand up. A lot of jiu-jitsu.
Oh, yeah.
To me, anything like that is just showing up. Just keep showing up. You're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days. But you keep showing up, and you're going to see people dropping off next to you. You're going to go, why? Why are they dropping off? This is easy. It's like muscle memory, you know? Where did you start comedy?
I started here.
Did you?
Oh,
so
yes.
You moved here to start here.
Well, I was here before. Yeah, I moved here and I started here, and it was not easy. It was not easy here because here you are going up against people who have TV shows, even if they're not like the best comedians. They're just famous and being a girl. And it's exactly what you said. I started with a bunch of people who no longer do stand-up. They quit.
You know, a lot of people come out here and they have some money saved, or their dad gives them a credit card, or they come out of college, and I don't think they understand the amount of work that goes into this process. They really don't. I don't think they understand the amount of work that goes into anything of this magnitude, whether it's acting, whether it's screenwriting, whether it's whether you get into a play, or maybe you're a dancer on a play. You know, I heard those people rehearse 10 hours a fucking day on Broadway. 10-hour days. I can't fucking rehearse 10 hours the same shit, regurgitating over and fucking over. Yeah. That's why I didn't do a play, because, you know.
Exactly.
But just anything like that. You know, when I was an electrician, I went to CMC, Colorado Mountain College, and I took a course in basic wiring. And the fucking, the guy that taught the course was an electrical, what do you call those people?
Engineer?
And
engineer.
No, the other ones, the one that do the inspections. And one day he goes, are you doing this as a job? And I go, nah, I'm just trying to cut glass. He goes, well, why don't you do this as a job? You're not bad at this in the classroom. Because he would take you to a house that was under construction and make you wire it for the final exam. So I go, I don't even know where to go. He goes, here, take this job over here. I remember getting a job there. I don't know what they started me at, maybe $8 an hour. But the guy's like, after you're here for like 2 years, we'll give you 15, and you get. And I was like, 2 years? 2 fucking years? Seems like when you're 20, you don't understand 2 fucking years.
No.
Even when you're 30, you start to understand it. You're like, 2 years. I don't know. I could sell coke.
Yeah.
In 2 years, I could be a fucking millionaire selling coke with 2 years fucking carrying toilets and shit and drilling holes. But. You know, if I would have stuck with it, like I stuck with it for 6 months, when I didn't make $55,000 a year, I quit. And I did that with everything, you know. But I knew that once I got into comedy, I knew that for me to even get to first base, I had to work my ass off.
Right.
You know.
But you love doing it, though.
Fuck yeah, I love doing it.
Yeah, I watch you. You're one of the people that I watch. Because I can tell who's lying on stage. Some people lie and win, and then I can tell who's, like, telling their truth, and I always watch you, and I'm like, wow, I can't wait to get to that right there.
Well, it's a process, because you try to okey-doke your feelings.
Yes.
Society okey-dokes your feelings. And with me, I saw Doug Stanhope in 96, and I had never seen anybody that honest on stage. Like, everything, fuck my, you know, my girlfriend and me just broke up, you know, all that. I just came back from supporting the troops. How about a big round of applause for the troops? There was none of that shit. He went into it about his mother's tits, that she bent over and his mother's pussy like a spider, you know, and I'm sitting there going, no, he did not.
Yes.
And that's the bit of truth is the whole thing. It's the whole thing with stand-up. And I know what you're saying when you go down to a club. You know, you know the people who come here, get a big-time agent, and now they're working for a TV show and a deal. And you can tell once the deal comes along, they'll stop doing stand-up.
Yeah.
And what a mistake that is.
Absolutely it
is. You know, and I saw a lot of those people here. It's like when these Saturday Night Live guys, they get fired, and they try to do stand-up. And it's the worst thing you've ever seen in your life, because what you do on Saturday Night Live is bad enough. You know, it's bad enough. Now you're going to do the fucking art of stand-up, and you can't really transcend it. They think in their mind, I could do this for 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah, so many people.
Fuck you.
That's right.
Fuck you. Yeah. That shit on TV with a fucking director saying cut, and all the ADs and all the fucking interns from NYU giggling, they just happen to be on the set with those dirty fucks. And they're all giggling. Ah, look how funny they are. Those motherfuckers go out into the world. The other night, I got to tell you, I went home, and I was going through the channels, and I stopped on Seth.
Rogen?
No. The guy that from San, the one that has like the news channel.
Oh, the late night
and
show.
I left it on, and I was in the kitchen feeding the cats.
Oh, Myers.
Brushing there the you cats. Go. That's not good.
Right.
That's not that good. That right. guy sneaked into. That guy's part of those people that wear the glasses. And,
well, Lorne Michaels produces all those shows, yeah, so that just
it's the same.
Clip. It's really fucking wild how you see that, and you're like, this is a part of that we were talking about last night.
Oh yeah.
With those dudes that grow the thick mustaches. So people could come after them and say, I love your mustache.
The artsy guys.
Yeah, the artsy guys, which in the end of the day, they don't really make you laugh. They're just blowing smoke up your ass with intelligent words. And yes. you sit there, oh, he's so thought-provoking. He's a fucking mutt, is what he is. He's a fucking mutt. That guy can't tell the truth to himself.
Absolutely.
If he had a fucking good day, he couldn't tell the truth.
Have you guys ever seen someone who, like, let's say was doing that kind of comedy, like telling their truth, but then the audience just hates it? Like, how that must suck if you, like, finally, like, open up yourself and they just, like, no audience, like, everyone hates you.
Well, it depends how you open up yourself.
Yeah, I agree.
If you go up on stage and say, I just got cancer, they're going to fucking hate it, too. You know, they got a cousin who got cancer. If you go up there and say, I went to the doctor because I had an itch in my nutsack and I got blown AIDS, you know. But if there's a way to say it for it to be subtle and for you to get a laugh and for them to sympathize with you but at the same time laugh.
Like Tig
Notaro.
When she had the breast cancer. She was really, really clever about... And it was that same day that she went on stage. But it's about... I agree. I think nobody resents the truth, but people just resent...
No, some people resent the truth.
Well, most people...
There's people that resent... No. And in this society that we live in here...
No, yeah.
68% of them don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to know the truth. They're so clogged into their world and how good they are for the world.
Yes, you're right about that. I stand corrected because political correctness is
I see it in... I live in the heart of it in Studio City. These people are white fucking... there's a word for it that I don't want to say what they are in Studio City. See, the real, real rich people, the real people that matter live by Rogan. They live up in the Hollywood Hills and you don't even know who they are.
Yeah.
The people that are mid-range rich... Like they've been on a writer for a show for 3 years. They all live in Studio City.
Yeah.
And the parade around. They go to that fucking farmer's market. And they fucking walk around eating like whatever the fuck they eat.
Kale.
And they, but they do everything so people could see them.
Right.
When I go up there on Sundays, I see, you know, I've told Lee and I've laughed about this, you know, football season. Okay. You know, you go up there and you see the guy pushing the carriage with the kids, and you see the wife with the ugly girlfriend next to her saying, you're so lucky, you have a great husband. Meanwhile, this husband fucks his secretary, number one. Number two, listen, I got a great wife because my wife never puts it on me. They go to a church that I don't really like, but they go there for the baby.
Right.
You understand me? But I'm from a different cut of church. It's like, I was talking to a girl one time, she's like, oh my God, you missed it today. What's the guy from the drug show, the fucking show?
Bryan Cranston, Aaron
His
Paul?
Father was there today.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so when somebody comes up to you at a church, like I went to just watch my daughter in the daycare, to watch her play with the kids.
All right.
And the girl was like, you weren't upstairs today? Oh, my God, Bryan Cranston's father was up there. Right away, I couldn't go back to that church.
Yes.
And that's what it is here.
I get it.
They go to church to see who shows up. I remember going first moving to L.A. and somebody going, you're a Catholic? Oh, my God, you have to go to that church on Santa Monica. Woods is one of the ushers and the other guy, and you get to meet him. And I'm like, that's why
you go to church,
because you get to meet people. Because
they think they're networking.
I get it, right.
They're networking.
That's the part that bugged me the most. I grew up Jewish, and it's Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. And every year I used to get pissed off because I'm not religious. I don't go every week. But people would go to that just... to like be seen, like they're always like
it's a social event. Oh, I don't go to church.
They're shaking everyone else's hand.
Yeah.
Well, but most people in this town are social parasites, so they're always that whole networking thing. It goes into everything. It goes into church. It goes into the schools for the kids.
School systems. Oh my God.
Yeah,
yes.
You know who such and such is on the PTA, and I'm like, what the fuck? That I'm not here for that. I'm here to make sure my daughter can read when she leaves this bitch.
Yeah, this area here is so fucking fake.
Yeah.
And the thing that burns me up the most is, like, I go to Marie E.T. and have coffee sometimes and write. And I meet
I go
there.
Over there, too.
That's a great place. And if you ever go at 9, you really get sick to your stomach because you see the women come in
With the yoga pants?
With the yoga pants, and they're always in a rush. You know, I go to the other day I go to the park. I didn't tell you about this, Lee. I made a mistake the other night.
Subway?
No, fuck no. I never make that fucking mistake. I looked at my wife and I go, listen, we're just sitting here. Let's take it to the park at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday night. Took it to the park and she got on the swing. That little fucking dirty bitch of mine wouldn't get off the swing till 6:30. At 6:30 she kept going, no, daddy. More swing, keep pushing, more time. But you know what? There was a little girl next to her on the swing, cute little blonde girl, maybe 5. I didn't know, she was by herself, and she kept looking at me. You know, Ada, it's not me to touch somebody else's kid. Right. I got enough problems, you know what I'm saying? Yes. Like, when you look at me, you're like, that motherfucker got felony. So I don't mess with nobody's kids. My wife is... You know, Sarah fucking good shoes.
Right.
And I had to grab her one time and go, you just walked away from your kid. Yeah, but come here. That's the number one kid.
That's right.
That could be a Mexican trap. You go over there to help and your kid's in a fucking van on the way to Tijuana. You never turn your back on your kid.
That's right.
I had to grab her tooth. I don't give a fuck the kid bleeding. That could be a Mexican trap over there. You turn around, your kid's in a fucking van headed to fucking Tijuana. And what are you doing? You're trying to be sorry fucking Sarah, trying to help some fucking kid. Mind your fucking business. But I go to that park. I do. It's true, man.
That's a very Cuban mentality,
though.
That's
a Cuban. That's a New York City mentality.
And New York, yes.
You don't turn your back on your child ever.
Ever.
Ever. I don't turn my back. People come up to me and say, oh, my God, I love you. That's great, dog, but not right now.
I know.
Because I can't look you in the eye. This is what I'm looking at right there. I'm looking at that thing playing. I don't give a fuck about the podcast or what you think or whatever show you we worked on together. You think you remember me? I'm friends with Sylvia Cynthia, and she worked on that show with you, the makeup girl. Remember, she has a daughter. Listen, I don't give a fuck, okay? I got my child over there playing in rocks, and you want to come over here and tell me a long-winded story. Get the fuck out of here.
I love this truth, though. I grew up in a house with this.
Well, that's the thing. It's the truth. And people cannot handle it. Like, I've had the last year. Once I hit 49, something took over me. When I hit 45, something took over. When I stopped doing cocaine, the real Cuban in me came out.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remembered that before I was a comedian and before I had to shake somebody's hand because they were at the comedy store or whatever, I'm a man.
That's right.
And I had to act like a man acts. And that a man don't act like that. Like, look who's here. Oh, my God. You know, we go over there because they go over there. Oh, really? I'll go freeze my balls off because, you know, I'm just surrounded by fucking sheep in this town.
Right.
But that's the first thing I focused. Then the number two thing I focused was, I'm too old. Like, once I hit 50, wait a second. Let me tell you something. I wasn't even supposed to hit 30. I wasn't. I'm telling you, I wasn't supposed to hit 30. Not only did I hit 30, but I hit 50 with a kid and a beautiful wife.
Aww.
Are you fucking kidding me? I'm going to say whatever the fuck I want to say from now. What are you going to do, not put me on your stupid TV show? That ship sailed.
Yeah.
I drive 2 blocks and do a podcast from this fine gentleman, and I have a better time than I'd ever do on any fucking set I've ever worked on. This is more fun to me than any fucking set I've ever worked on.
And a lot of people love it.
I love it.
They
I love doing
it.
This. I love doing this. And, so all that shit went out the window with me. I say shit comes out of my mouth in public now because I don't, listen, here's the deal.
I know I flew on a plane with you.
Oh, that's right. The black dude's foot. When we took the picture of the black dude's foot with the sandal.
On the Southwest flight or something?
She fell asleep, yeah, to Denver. Some dude got out and just left his foot in the aisle, a size 12 foot, just dang. And then the slipper fell off, and it was a dry crack foot. Like, if you spray painted on his foot like cream, it still wouldn't have fucking worked. Like, spray painted, whatever, that cocoa butter they put on their fucking feet, whatever the fuck it is. And my thick cacao, whatever the fuck it is. My mom used to put that shit all over me. I hate that shit.
The cocoa
now butter. I put the CVS cocoa butter cream on me. That's tremendous. But that cocoa butter from the stick, that's primitive shit.
Yeah, no, the stick was rough.
But that shit on your lips, you go out in a fucking blizzard and you come home and your lips are redder than fuck. All these little Gentiles with their chapstick and shit crying. You take cocoa butter, you pour that shit on your lips before you leave the house. In a blaze of a winter, you come back to your lips. They're fucking juicy like that crack hole on the corner. Juicy and shit. Oh, ate up motherfucking for later in the house, ladies.
What up?
So you started comedy here. How long were you doing comedy before you got picked for last comic. How did that process?
Oh, no, that was 6 years in.
Six years in. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You work hard. I saw you out a lot.
I do work out.
And you put up with some fools, too.
I do. And you know what? I don't give a shit. I just do me. Because I came from somebody, I grew up in a house with somebody like you. My father equipped me for the bullshit. And he always just taught me that it didn't matter. Don't give a shit what anybody says. You know, the number one rule in my house was consider the source. And once you start to consider the source, like, ¿qué come mientras te va a decir a ti que tú eres whatever? He would be like, ¿quién te dijo eso? Who told you that?
Who told you that?
Who
yeah.
told you that? And then I'd be like, such and such. And he'd be like, oh, you mean the crackhead whose mother is fucking her brother? Why do you give a shit what that bitch said to you? We don't care. So that, it toughened me up. So when I did Last Comic Standing, people were like, you're going to have to adjust for the TV show. And I just went in and I did my own thing. And they said, okay. They didn't ask me to change because I can't change who I am. I'm not 20. You know, I grew up hardcore.
What were you doing before comedy?
I was writing, stand up. I mean, I was acting and writing.
What'd you do for work since you were 18? I
was modeling.
Okay.
I modeled and I hated it. I didn't, you know, I used to sneak.
In New York?
I modeled in New York and in Miami.
Okay.
And I used to sneak food. I used to tape Snickers to the inside of my legs. And I hated being those people, the people you're talking about.
Oh, my God. They're the worst.
And I'd be like, well, bitch, what? And they'd be, oh, we don't use that language here. Really, everybody here is having sex with everybody. They're doing cocaine, smoking cigarettes, but I can't say fuck and bitch. Really, get out. I'm out. I don't belong here.
It's a horrible life with these people. It's fucking horrible.
The land of make-believe. So, and then my dad would be like, I come home and I have to eat the rice and beans. You know, they'd be like, what you mean a salad? Oh, yeah, you're going to eat avocados and onions on the side of your food, but you're going to eat your food.
What would your parents say if you turned vegan?
Oh, man, it's a sin, it's a crime, and you get clowned. I mean, I tried to be vegan, and my father was like, if you don't eat that steak, I'm going to get belt.
A couple of weeks ago, I was going to Denver, and Ada was there. We flew out of Burbank together, and she sat next to me. And we started having conversations about her dad. And I got to tell you, it fucking destroyed my mind. When I got to Denver, I had to lay down and think about it, and I had to think about my daughter and the future, and, you know, because I have a lot of the same tendencies, you know, but we came from the same cut.
Yeah.
Now, again, I don't want people to get the wrong impression. There's two types of Cubans. Yeah. There's Pasadena Cubans. Who don't know they got black blood in them and they parade themselves. They won't even listen to mambo music in the house. And then you got Cubans in this cut that your dad and my mom came from.
Yes.
That they grew up, you know, when I was a kid, my mom would always go, you know, but why do you have a scarf on? I put a scarf. Remember in the 70s, you put a scarf in with a nut? And my mom would say, what are you, Rock Hudson?
Oh, that's so funny.
Did I tell you about this? Yeah,
no.
On the plane. And my mom would always say, well, my mom died in 79. And when I was a kid, whenever I would comb my hair on the wrong side, I think you're supposed to part it on the left side.
Yes.
Whenever I would part it on the right side, my mom would go, what are you, Rock Hudson? And for years, I kept saying, why do you fucking call me Rock Hudson? And she goes, Rock Hudson's a fag. And I go, what the fuck are you talking? Because growing up, she told me everybody was gay. Bruce
yes.
Lee was gay.
Oh, absolutely.
Elvis was gay. You know, that was their sense of humor. Batman was a fag. When she told me Batman was a fag, it broke me.
Yeah.
It broke me for two. And then she would sing me the song, Batman, el maricón, Batman, mamá me la pinga, Batman, con el culo, Batman, Batman. I would sit there, Batman is not a fag. So when she told me about Rock Hudson, she just cracked me. I'm like, that's it. And I was a little older. If she died when I was 15, this is when I was about 12 or 13, and she goes, what are you talking about? He's gay. He's gay, 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 gay. And I'm like, Ma, he played cowboy. He did this movie. And I go, how do you know that? She goes, when I was a little girl and he would come to town, what do you think I'd do? Sit in my house, poor? I'd go down, I'd put my best dress on, and me and 18 girls would go down there and see who could suck his dick first. And he wouldn't leave his hotel room. He'd be up there with a young man.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Ma, come on.
She had gaydar.
And 85, he came out gay, and I had to fucking put a candle in her grave because she wasn't lying to me.
She was right.
My mom's favorite expression was, Ma, I don't like that steak. And she would look at me and go, I don't like sucking dick either, but somebody's got to do it. I would fucking crack. Like, it took me 12 years to even want to know what sucking dick meant.
Yeah.
Like she'd say, Mama Binga. And I would make believe like I didn't even hear it. Like, ah. Like, oh, I know Mamar and I know Pinga. Together.
That doesn't go together.
It doesn't go together. And shit, my mom don't suck no dick. But that's how they talked at the house. And you were just telling me story after story about your dad and how he would go to school and watch you and say, I'm watching you and shit.
Oh, yeah. He used to stalk me
at boyfriends. And I have the same tendencies. I have a friend, and they have an 8-year-old girl. And I love her like she's my own daughter. Like, I love her. Mm-hmm. They're Filipino. Today I found a basketball camp for her on Groupon.
I'll do.
For like $85 for a month. And he's like, thank you, bro. He goes, you really like Jade, don't you? I love Jade. I've known Jade since he was 3. You know, I like girls, you know. So I could just imagine, like, as they get older, I get involved and stuff. I have a daughter, Ada, that's 25.
Oh,
and when she was 3, she was having a problem at her daycare in Boulder at Gentile. This is the capital of Gentiles. Some kid kept biting at her.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember telling her, like, you got to go in there and punch him in the mouth. And she would look at me like, Daddy, I don't know what you're talking about. I go, just punch him in the mouth. He'll never bite you again. And sure enough, one day I got the call. She smacked the kid. The kid never bit her again. And the mother's like, I wonder where she got that from. Like, it was unheard of to them.
Right.
But my Cuban blood, that's how you stop a kid biting you in the fucking hand, you know. Yeah.
My dad used to tell us, you hit him in the head with a stick. Find a stick. You hit him as hard as you can, and then you run home. I got it from there. And we listened. Because I would rather hit you on the head with a stick than to go home and have to deal with him. And those were the consequences. And my brother hit this kid in the back of the head one time because he was beating up my brother, my other brother, and hit him in the back of the head and ran home. And my father was like, olvídate eso, olvídate. That means forget about it. I got it. And that was how we dealt with stuff.
It's a different society. I get mad at my mother sometimes. Sometimes in the middle of the night I'll think of something.
Right.
And I'll say, what the fuck was she thinking? And then I'll go, Jesus Christ, at least she didn't lie to me.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I have cousins in Miami that their father went to jail, and they were never told he went to jail. They told him he went to college. That was the big thing. A lot of Cuban houses and a lot of homes. He's going away to college. He's working on a ranch in Montana.
El Ejército,
whatever that means. Army. The army. And then later on, 20 years later, they find out and they get mad. My mom told me everything as it came up. Now that I think about it. Like, by the age of 6, I already... Like, my mom used to have a birthday party for me every year. And she'd have 2 piñatas, one for the kids and one for the adults. The ones for the kids were straight up. The ones for the adults had a little cocaine there in aluminum foil. When they would pull it, my mom would go, hey, get in there, pick up the aluminum foils for mommy, bring them back to mommy. You know, like, I knew what was going on. I didn't like it. I wouldn't tell my friends. I wasn't allowed to tell my friends that my mommy and daddy do coke. That was not... The way they raised me, I wasn't allowed to even talk.
Oh, you always said no.
No. Mira oye gaya, the 3 monkeys. Yeah. That's the rule of the house. Whatever happens in this house, you look, no ears, no... You know, do I want to raise my daughter like that? There's so many aspects of that raising that you have to pass on. You told me something today that your dad used to always tell you...
Every day was a different saying. It was like, you know, he used to be so... We sit around now and we make fun of him and we talk about, like, all the different sayings that he used to say. But he used to always say, you know, tell me who you hang with and I'll tell you who you are. Dime con quien anda y te digo quien eres. Like, he used to observe all of our friends. Like, I brought this girlfriend of mine home and my father was like, esa puta. I mean, she's a whore. And I was like, what do you mean? How do you know that by just looking at her? He said, esa tiene corte de puta. Like, she's cut like a hoe. And I know a hoe when I see a hoe. Because I know hoes.
How old were you when he started talking to you?
I was young. That was 12.
And he talked to you and all your brothers
all of us,
and sisters like
all
that?
Of us. It used to be like that. It was an
extreme. Or he'd pull you to the side and go, oh, God.
Yeah, no. With her, he'd be like, this one right here is a hoe. But if need be, he would. If it took, I had a friend that was, my mother's friend was gay and came over to the, and used our bathroom. And my father was like, go get a cloro, go get the bleach. So we used to have to bleach the toilet every time. Cause he was like, about AIDS had just come out. And he was like, he was so ignorant. He was like, I don't know. The news said last week that you could only get it this way. What are they going to say next week? I got 2 virgins in the house. And you got to go clean the toilet. Like, my dad was just, he used to, and he was sexist, and that's just who he was. We had to take 3 showers a day, the girls. And I would be like, Daddy, why I got to take 3 showers? And Chino has, he's like, because you have a coochie. And your coochie sweats in the middle of the night. And when you get up in the morning, you got to wash that coochie. And when you go to sleep, you got to all the time.
All the time. Cubans, they love when you shower. My mom would tell me how my ass stunk.
Oh, yeah.
Even in the morning. You got to wash that ass in the morning. Because your balls stink.
Yes.
You know, I take 3 showers now because of what my mom instilled in me. Sometimes Lee's like, oh, I got up at 2 and went out. What, no shower? When I go to Starbucks and I see a woman with her hair fucked up from the night before, I want to tap her on the shoulder and go, what, you don't have time to wash that disgusting snatch? Because if your hair looks like that, can you imagine what your pussy smells like?
That's my dad.
Are you fucking crazy?
So that's my dad right there. My dad would be like, oh, you know.
Are you fucking kidding me? It's 10 in the morning, your hair's still fucked up, or you're still out from the night before and you think you're cute. You didn't wash that fucking monster between your legs.
That's the truth. Lee, there was no watching the Smurfs without washing your ass. It was like we would have to get up in the morning, take a shower, brush our teeth, comb our hair, put our clothes on, and then we were able to go sit down and watch cartoons. There was no lounging with snot in your nose.
My mother used to make me breathe on it and make sure I brushed my teeth.
Oh, yes.
Before I ate breakfast, dog.
Absolutely.
It is something that I don't think my mom ever lied to me. I'm sure she lied to me about big stuff, but life stuff.
Oh, no.
My mom had this thing when she'd come home at night. And this was from the time I was 6, you know. She used to get home from the bar at 3:30, and she'd always wake me up with food. And this is after she got married, and it was our time. It was our 20 minutes. She'd wake me up, and I'd get up. And she'd be drunk and fucked up, but she'd tell me about her day and what her feelings were and what she wanted for me. And she'd cry a little bit. She'd think of my sister in Cuba. And then and that was our time. And she'd tell me about things that I wasn't supposed to know. And she'd say, this guy came in today. I got to watch him. You watch him, too. She'd tell me about my stepdad. He's a fucking cocksucker. Watch, you know. She would treat me as an adult. My mom always spoke to me as an adult. Like, they never disrespected me. They never made me. I was never told to go into another room. You know how some people come to your house and your parents are like, go in the other room.
No.
My mother never had to tell me to go in the other room. I knew when to get up and go in the other room. Yeah. I knew when I would watch TV and they'd be talking about numbers. Numeral. And giving 20,000 and this and that. And I'd watch TV and I'd listen to the conversation. But it had nothing to do with me.
That's right, because we were taught to mind our
business. You weren't. My mom used to always say, "Niño hablan con
la gallina mea."
That means kids talk when roosters piss and they don't piss. They don't piss. So you can't say a fucking word.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't ask my mom what was for dinner.
Yeah. We don't have that option.
What's for dinner? Unta. Mierda. Baguette de unta. Shit. What the fuck you asking for?
Whatever it is, you're going to eat it.
Una perlana. What's a perlana? Una pinga with the lana. That means a big dick wrapped up in cotton or some shit. I mean, dog, that's how they talk to you. So you knew where you stood, you know. I have who is very touchy? My wife. If I bring something home, she has to, and there was an expression in mine, no toque nada, toque de culo. That means don't touch nothing, touch your ass. Touch your own ass. You don't got to touch nothing. You know those people that want to look? They don't got to look at nothing. Go fuck yourself. You know, they were, and it taught me, you know, it's like, so we were having a comment, and Lee thinks I'm crazy.
About what?
Like, a lot of times you'll bring something up, and I go, it doesn't even matter. It's like tonight, my wife got a hotel in San Diego. I swear to God, she goes, listen, I don't know if you know this, hotel in San Diego is non-smoking. I go, I'm still going to, like, it blew her mind. I go, you know me 15 years. I go, every hotel I go to is non-smoking. She goes, oh. Yeah, every hotel I go to. And whether it's non-smoking or not, I'm still going to smoke.
I have to think about stuff now before I call you about things. I'm like, what would he say if I told him this?
Oh, yeah, because he kills, you know.
And I still mess up like once or twice a week. Like there's something new.
Yesterday I was at the Y. And I saw a black lady who the most thing she wanted in this life was to be white. When she wakes up in the morning, every morning, she looks at her skin, she starts crying for 10 minutes. This lady wanted to be white so bad. You ever been to the North Hollywood Y?
I have.
It's a thin fucking hallway.
Yeah.
Where do you think this fucking white wannabe stood? right in the middle talking to a Chinese chick who spoke Russian. I was like high, and I'm like, I can't believe I'm living through this. So I was waiting for my wife and my daughter to come out of the swimming pool. I had just swam with them. I came out first, and I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to this black chick. And people are going up to her going, excuse me. You know, people with eight kids, like, you're in the fucking middle. And you don't, you want to be white, but you're failing the number one prerequisite. You know what I'm saying? Which you're in the way. Get the fuck out of the way. And the Chinese woman, you could see she wanted to get away. Okay, see you at the school benefit. And let me tell you something. I got your email, but she wasn't talking black, I'm sorry. I got your email and blah, blah. And finally I go, oh my God. And she just looked at me and she got the hit. And the fucking thing broke. Like, I got to say what, I can't do it no more. I can.
You got to the point where you, that's how my dad is.
I had to chip in. I had to help this poor fucking Chinese lady out. She wanted to get the fuck out of there, and whatever, this lady just wanted to talk. They want to talk. They do. You ever go to a meeting?
Yes.
You ever get a call to go to a network meeting or something?
They want
to
talk.
And you sit there, and the whole time they're talking, all you're thinking about is driving on the 405.
Yeah.
Every minute, you're looking at the clock going, they're talking about nothing.
And I got to go back.
Why did I even come down here? Yes. Because God forbid they can't tell their friends they had the word meeting. Because it's so huge. I have a meeting today. Oh, you do? Oh, with some client. At least I am. He's coming in to pitch a deal about dolphins. They won't. I don't like all that chitter chatter.
They meet. They have meetings about meetings in this town. Everybody was, oh, let's do
that's
lunch.
That's why I don't like text messages.
I hate text messaging, too.
I don't want a fucking text message in my life because, yay, yay, good. It's the people who, like, so I sent you a key.
It's information.
Did it fit? Maybe I go, enough. After the second line, yes. We got to go to the phone. There's no reason to sit here and play this shit back and forth.
Oh,
this
yes.
is all unnecessary. Yes. All this stuff is unnecessary. It's like, I look at all that shit, like all that unnecessary stuff that
and
people,
it's phony. It's disingenuous. It's, oh, how are you feeling today? I was worried about, no, you weren't. If you were, you would have picked the phone and called me and you would have heard my voice.
I love on the holidays when I get texts from people
I just
erase them. I don't even open them. I just erase them because I don't, and then they'll see me a month later. Did you get my text? Not really. Oh my God, I sent one. I'll come in for a second. Do me a favor. When you want to contact someone in the holidays, either pick up the phone or don't, and they look at you like you're goofing.
But
like,
it's true.
They look at you like you're goofing, like, oh, no, dog. What the fuck? Wait, so you pressed the button and sent me out, and I'm supposed to feel good about myself?
Yeah.
The people I love, I call.
That's
I take
right,
the time
me
out,
too.
I fucking call them and go, hey, bro, what's going on? I don't send no fucking mass text out to bother people. Hi, happy Thanksgiving. Go fuck yourself.
You know I'm not crazy. You hear it.
Yeah. I don't fucking send nothing
listen,
back.
Listen.
Dog, I turned that fucking side of my phone off.
Yep.
Some guy sent me 6 texts the other day.
Oh, shit.
The call that he got was horrible.
I want one of those.
He called me 3 days later and apologized. He called me three. That's how bad I made him feel. I'm like, are you fucking retarded? You could have called me, like, trying to be motivational, speaking and shit. You know what? One more fucking good luck.
Oh, shit.
Fuck it. Yeah, this is the real deal. Okay, we're going deep tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Do you know that 37 years ago today, I went to see the Rolling Stones for the first time?
How was it? I was just listening to Beast of Burden.
That was the album. That was the tour, 1978, Some Girls album. And I almost seen them tonight.
I like the Rolling Stones.
I tried to talk my wife into going to Nashville tonight to see the Stones and Brad Paisley.
Mm.
And she wouldn't do it. I go, I'll tell you what, I'll fly in with you Tuesday. We'll eat dinner. We'll go see the Stones Wednesday night, and I'll leave Thursday morning. You shoot to your family. She's like, fuck them. I just saw those motherfuckers.
That's dope. I'm so glad you said what you said about text messages, because I feel the same way. I hate
all that nonsense.
Yeah.
I hate, if there's something you could tell me. Listen, there's some people that I have an email respect. I don't mind those people.
Right, right. Absolutely.
You have an email thing. There's some people that they don't need to go past the email. There's information they have to send you.
Absolutely.
I agree with that. There's some people want to send you emails, and you're like, I don't get this. There's a guy that keeps sending me fucking emails from a phone number. I erase
me too.
It.
He sends, like, little pictures?
Yeah, 415.
Oh, yeah, he sends it from his number. What is he doing?
Who is this guy?
I feel bad for him because I just erase him. I had a call. Like, I went to Sprint because I couldn't figure out the Wi-Fi. And I'm like, oh, something's wrong with my phone. The lady's like, you know, you have like 200 text messages you haven't checked. And she goes, do you want to see who they are? And I looked at them the one day, and I wrote down the people, and I called them. I said, let me ask you something. At what point don't you just call me?
That's right.
If you text me three times for a gig and I didn't get back to you, wouldn't the smart thing be that I don't want to bother you? You bother me more than when you send me a fucking text message.
It's informal.
That bothers me more.
It's not professional. It's not a professional.
When you send me a text message for a gig, I just erase it. If you're that fucking stupid and that ignorant, I just erase the fucking thing.
See, I'm not crazy. Text messages are for directions, addresses, phone numbers, make a right. Here's the information.
I don't want no text messages. Unless you're going to send me a fucking picture, you asshole. Oh, whipped cream on it. And even that's going to bother me. Because I'm not going to keep it on my phone. I'm going to fucking erase it anyway. You know, it's just, if they opened up a bag of worms that didn't need to open up in my world, I don't know why.
Yeah.
There's some people, sometimes you're in a place that's loud and you can't talk. We did it for 200 years.
Absolutely.
And it worked. I made tons of calls from Madison Square Garden during the Knicks games.
Lee is almost asleep over there.
Oh, he's fucked up tonight. He's going deep into the murky waters of the underworld.
It's crazy how different it is growing up white, like with white parents versus like Hispanic parents. Like,
not really.
Well,
not
yes,
really.
It is.
Really?
From what I've seen, like, and you can't. Like, of course, there's some Hispanic parents who aren't like your parents. And
you said like our parents got a disease.
Oh no. But I've been dating a Mexican girl for 2 years, and even with her mom, like I had to ask her the other day, like, are you and your mom fighting on the phone all the time? And they never really were talked to like kids. Like she doesn't mess around with them. She calls like her like brother's wife. She says mean things about her. So it's just it's a very different. Like I had never had a conversation with my mom like that.
Yeah, my parents are not passive aggressive. Like my dad came home one day and said, "Look here, what did he? I can't even remember." He was like, women come a dime a dozen and every man has a dollar. So let me tell you something. There is nothing that's going to benefit you from being cute, because somebody is cuter is right around the way. Somebody whiter is around. Because my father had that mentality about the whiter you are. He was like, what you got is substance. And you can never lose when you have substance. And my girlfriend, who was white, was like, I can't believe your dad said that to you. That sounds like a pimp talking to a prostitute on the street. And he was like, no, I'm trying to keep her from being a prostitute on the street. That's my job. But he used to say stuff to us that other people would never, ever say to their kids.
I think that parents are afraid to tell their kids the truth, and they don't speak to them in certain ways or certain tones.
Oh, yeah.
I disagree with Lee to one extent, because I grew up with white parents around me that would fuck their kids up mm-hmm. at the drop of a dime, and they were cold-blooded mm-hmm. at the drop of
true.
A dime. It's gotten, over the years, it's gotten a little bit looser.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I had friends growing up that they could say nonsense in the house. Like I remember being at a friend of mine's house where he got into an argument with his dad about him considering a different religion in Boulder. And I was like in shock that the father was like, well. And I remember being at a friend of mine that was Irish's house, and he was just playing with his dad. And his dad's like, if that was ever to happen, I couldn't have you in my fucking house. I grew up with a kid that was Jewish that was dating a Puerto Rican girl in high school, and everything was hunky-dory. And he told me, the father pulled him aside and said, when you go to Dartmouth,
you can't.
That's it. Oh, I take you out of the will, and there's no job when you get out of college, and there's no money. And I cut you off. Like, you're not allowed in my house. That was for high school. I can't. And most kids would die today.
Oh,
that what I just said, people at home going, oh, my God, that dad's a scumbag. Listen, bro, there's certain people, and he was Jewish. They were with the fucking thing on their head, and he would go to Midtown Manhattan every day. But he told his son, I can't have it. Your mom would have a heart attack if you married him. So before it even goes another step, it's not going to happen, and say goodbye. Oh, you know, a kid today would go, I'm in shambles. You're a racist. Oh, my God. You know, if my boy would have said that to his father would have knocked him out right there and then.
Yep.
You know, beat him, like busted his mouth and got his shit and thrown away, and he wouldn't have been to Dartmouth or wherever the fuck he went, like whatever Division I school he went. He would have gone to a shit school, you know? I couldn't go home and tell my mother, I'm considering you know, being a florist. My mom would fucking argue with your mom about religion or something like that. Going home and saying, I want to be a Buddhist. You know, I had friends that would go home. My ex-wife's little sister used to say, she'd have the dinner table, bro, that I wanted to punch in the mouth. Not smack her.
Punch.
Because I could see that the dad came from my society. He was a lot older than I was. But I could see that his face would get red. Like, she would start arguments about Catholicism. Meanwhile, they're donating to a church every weekend. They have nuns at their house for breakfast and shit. And this young little hippie who's living, doesn't have a job, living in an apartment on campus, you know, is like, why do I have to be Catholic? You know, they're all perverts. And I could see the father was getting pissed. And I'm like, if this was my house, my mom would have grabbed me by the fucking neck already. Like,
yep.
I grew up in a house that when my mom went to hit me, I had to keep my hands down.
Yes.
Because Cuban people believe that if you put your hands up
and
you strike your mother when you die, your hand pops up in the casket and they have to break it to put it back in. When I heard that shit, I kept my hands to myself. I didn't want to be scared. I didn't want to be fucking Hitler saluting people at my wake and shit.
Yes.
Just popping your little arm up and all of a sudden 20 Nazis pop out of the fucking flowers and shit.
Yep, that's it. Yeah, my mom hit us with a broomstick. She hit us with a belt. She hit us with her shoe.
My mom burnt a Bounty roll one time because I put my hands up.
Oh, man, yes. Because la estás amagando, because you're raising your hand to her.
I was raising my hand. She was hitting me on the way up with the broom, and I was pushing the broom, and she's... And all of a sudden, she got like a fake heart attack, though.
Mm-hmm.
And she ran into the kitchen, took the Bounty roll off the roll, lit it on fire, and she ran back up the stairs, boy. I'm going to burn your fucking hands. I'm gonna, that's the house I grew up in, guys.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, man. I'm going to tell you guys something that I have no ill will for my mom for hitting me.
Yeah.
I think that she fucked up because after a certain age, when she did come around, the damage is already done.
Yeah.
That's the only thing but my mother got caught up in her life.
Mm-hmm.
I got sick, and I'm in the hospital, her coming in and going, this is my fault.
Oh.
The last 2 years, I've been fucking around with you. I've been leaving you $20. She hated that I used to eat steakums.
Oh,
it would drive her fucking crazy.
Do they still make steakums?
Yes, they do.
They do.
They're delicious. With some fucking raw onions and some American cheese.
You
melt that shit on a bun when things get bad. But things weren't bad in my house. Right. I just liked steakums.
Right, right.
And I ate them for 2 or 3 months straight for dinner.
Oh, my God.
Steakums, 2 steakums with white bread, with hot sauce, picantico, with raw onion.
Yeah.
And a ride of French fries, the steak fries.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I ate every night for dinner. And in my mother's world,
I ate them too, Lee.
That was horrific. In a Cuban mother's world,
absolutely,
that is like a sin. But she was busy. She tried to cook. She knew I didn't like leftovers. You know, when I was growing up, the microwave just started showing his head. So it wasn't how it is now. A Cuban mom left you that food with no cover on it.
Yeah.
The whole refrigerator stunk.
Yeah.
I'd have fucking arroz con pollo with natilla.
Yeah.
And I'd bite into the natilla, which is like Cuban custard, and it tastes like onions.
Yeah,
you know?
It was disgusting.
Cuban people don't put lids on nothing.
No.
They just shoved shit into the refrigerator. And I couldn't live like that.
No.
I fucking could not live like that. You got to wipe the soda cans before you put it to your lips because they taste like fucking garlic bread and shit.
Oh, yeah.
No. So in the hospital, she goes, that's it, it's all over. And I think before she died, that hospital run was like September 28th to November 9th. I think I gained 15 pounds because she started making potajes.
Oh, yeah. We
and
see
I started them, lifting weight, like that Cuban stew, potatoes and beef and the chicken's
chicharrones.
Head. Yeah, and all that shit. I mean, she started really.
Lenteja.
But it was too late at that time. She had already given me a. You know, I got left back and my mom never knew it. I got left back in the 6th grade.
Wow.
In the 7th grade, my mom never knew it because at that time she had the bar and she gave me so much trust. Like, I never had the balls to go back and say, you know, I got left back because she had put all this trust in me.
Right.
Like, she had stopped waking me up. She had stopped making breakfast at that time. It was over. This is all your job now. I did it for a long time.
I was thinking about that. Do you think maybe your mom knew but was, like, kind of, like, holding it, like, just seeing what would happen? Like, because sometimes moms know shit like that.
I think my mom knew I was smoking pot. Not a lot. I think my mom knew I was drinking a little bit, but not a lot. I was a jock.
Right.
I had good grades. You know, that summer school, that thing I failed was because I found love.
Isn't that always
I started dry humping some young girl, and she told me she's going to give me the pussy on the first day of summer. So I couldn't even think about school. I kept thinking what her pussy looked like. I didn't know either. I didn't, you know.
You know, the mind of a young man.
Of a young man. Of a fucking 13, 12-year-old, you know. And I was in love. I really loved her. She broke my fucking heart. Like,
what's her name?
Her name is Nyurka.
Oh, wait. She was Cuban. Nyurka,
see. Nyurka Riza. She was a Cuban girl. And it was just, there was this fucking, I just fell in love with her. She was dark-skinned like you, but with blonde hair. She was that Cuban with blue eyes.
Oh, yeah.
The brother was beautiful. The father was like a Cuban model. And the mother was fucking smoking. The grandmother was a big Cuban movie star, like in Cuba in the 30s and shit.
Oh, yeah.
And this, I've had three friends that were Cuban that I hung out with.
Mm-hmm.
You, that have told me stories about your father.
Mm-hmm.
This girl, Viv, that told me stories about her father, New Yorker, that told me stories about her father, and this other girl, Jacqueline, that I knew that. And out of the four girls I grew up with, three of yous had daddy drama with them. You love them so much. Like, now I have to think of my daughters. You
know, right,
I have to
think of my,
and I see what's going on now with my daughter already. You know, I can't walk her to school no more.
Why?
Because when I drop her off, she goes fucking nuts. My wife had to come the other day. She goes, yeah, you can't. She goes, you can pick her up because she goes, my wife's like, she gets depressed. She drops on the floor if you're not there.
Oh.
So I take her swimming Tuesdays and Thursdays, our family night, you know. But my friend, New Yorker, her father died. Her father didn't die. Her father left. No, her father and the mother broke up. But you know Cuban men.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give a fuck about la corte ni nothing.
Nope.
Esto es mi casa.
That's right.
So I'm staying here. So he built an apartment downstairs.
Yeah. And you were never going to move on with
your
life.
He's never going to move on with his. He couldn't bring men home.
No.
He lived in the basement when they were divorced 10 years. He still lived in the fucking basement.
Yep.
And he had a dog, a German Shepherd, and he had a Corvette. And he was a dick.
Yeah.
But same thing happened there. She came to me years. What happened between her and I was, this is terrible. This is horrible, Ada. I used to dry hump her, the whole thing. We never really had sex. And then the summer came, and she told me she wasn't ready to have sex yet. She was still a young girl. Right. We were in the fucking sixth grade, seventh grade, you know. She barely had titties, and I went nuts. But finally, like in the summer of seventh grade, she took her titty out, right? And she gave me titty. But then the next year, I stayed in the seventh grade, and she stayed in the eighth grade. And, like, in the beginning, we broke up, and we stayed friends. And I still loved her to death, but I had to move on with my life. It was good. I started playing basketball, like, to get my mind off her.
Right.
And she used to live in the block next to me before to make her. I used to go to her house every day. I used to hang with her mother, the grandma. They loved me. We used to go roller skating. And then one day we got caught playing hooky, and my mom got the call at the bar, and she went to the house, and she knew the people lived in the backyard. And only a Cuban mother. First of all, my mother hated her.
Of course she did.
My mother couldn't stand her. Every time she came over, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Leave
and
that door open.
And then one day I was in there, and they came home, and they snuck up on me. This is one of the best my mother stories ever. My mother couldn't fucking, she couldn't sleep at night. I want to know what they're doing in that fucking room. No sé la vuelta. And one day I was in there, and I heard shit in the yard, but I thought it was in the yard over, and it was my mother and Arnardo. Arnardo Docampo was a bookmaker in my mother's bar.
Oh, yeah.
He was married to La Gallega.
Of course.
And she cooked tremendous Cuban food, and her and my mother grew up together. So one day my mother talked to Arnardo after, because he would get to my mother's bar at 9 and take numbers. People who went to take the New York bus would come in and play 604 for $5, and then they'd go, dame un traguito, give him one. So by 3 o'clock, he would be fucking lit.
Right.
And that was his thing. At 3, he went home, took a nap for an hour and a half. Then he'd come back after dinner and hang out at my mom's bar till like 8 o'clock at night. Then my stepdad came, and then it was a party, and he would go home. He would sit there like he was like the pseudo help my mother in the daytime. Well, my mother talked him into going to my backyard and putting the ladder up, and for him to climb up the ladder and peek and report to my mother what was going on in there. And all of a sudden, I'm dry humping to Earth, Wind, and Fire. Oh, yeah, you want my love, and you can't deny. And I hear, pa-pa-ta-pa. The ladder fell and Arnaldo broke his ankle. Oh, shit. I got off. I had to run to the backyard. There's my mother picking up Arnaldo, the neighbor. What are you doing? No. We thought the air conditioner was leaking. And I believed it for like 5 minutes. And I'm like, fuck that. You guys were sneaking this. And my mother hated it. So we and the girl played hooky. And then one day, my mother, that same day, they called my mother. My mother opened up the back gate. The back windows and started yelling, "Tu hijo una puta."
Oh, yes.
My mother started yelling, "Terrible. You and your mother are both whores." She sits in that room with my son, and I hear him making weird noises. She's a whore. Oh, you know my mother. So when me and her walked into her house, the mother's like, "You got to sit down. I want you to hear what your mother was saying about my daughter and me." It was horrible. They're like, "You're not allowed in this house no more."
Aww.
But New Yorker still liked me, and we still swapped spit. And then we broke up, and it's a fucked up story. One day I went up on the block with a bicycle. My buddy used to steal bicycles. He was a Puerto Rican kid. And he'd be giving them to this Cuban kid, Valentine Farrell. Valentine Farrell was a street mechanic. Mm-hmm. He would spray paint the bike and take the numbers off and put different handlebars in the bike. So I come out of my house. Valentine lived right next door to me. So he goes, "Coke, where are you going?" I go, "I'm going to Charles Court." He goes, "Take this bike and let me know what you think." So I took the bike, and as I'm riding the bike, the steering wheel would move without the tire.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I rode up the hill. I knew it, so I rode up the hill, and I was just going to put it down, play with the kids, and fuck around. New Yorker picked up the bike and started riding around the hill. We lived on a cul-de-sac. Charles Court was one of those streets, like a circle.
Oh, yeah.
But the top was a fucking hill when you went down.
Oh, shit.
So she took the bike while we were playing two-hand touch.
Lee, you know where this is.
Oh, my God, this is terrible. She took the bike while we were playing two-hand touch, but we were more on this side of the oval. So when she took the bike, like, "New Yorker, come back. And we ran this way to get her, to meet her in the bottom of the hill. And when me and my buddy got to the bottom, we're like, "Stop, the steering wheel." We went to go for the bike. She turned it and went over the handlebar, bro.
Oh, shit.
She landed on the head. We picked her up. She was okay. We all went home. The next day I went to school, and they're like, "You didn't hear what happened?" I go, "No, New Yorker's in the hospital. She had a coma."
She's in a coma. She might die. Oh, my God.
She had a blood clot in her head. And it took, she had to take the, but listen, even bald, she won homecoming queen as a freshman. That's how bad that bitch was.
Coma and all.
Yeah, la flaquita, right? She was skinny, like thin, like you, built like you, like thin and long. And her mother, no, but after she got hit in the head, her tits got huge. Her tits got like triple D. They were monster size. He said, "Puso loquita." She started giving out pussy and shit.
Aww.
So me, I didn't do nothing, right? I felt bad. I had heard this shit. I wasn't in love with her no more. Like, I was already brokenhearted. And I was a junior in high school. I was living with the Benders. And one Sunday night, Mr. Bender's like, "There's a hot girl at the door." I go, "For me?" And he's like, "Get out there. Hurry up." And I go out there. It's New York with a low-cut shirt. And she goes, "Can I talk to you for a second?" I go, "What's up?" She's like, "Listen, man. Me and my boyfriend broke up. I don't know if you want to take me to the prom."
Oh,
holy. And I'm like, let me think. I didn't know. The girl I was kind of dating. And then she got violent. She's like, "You don't take me." She goes, "If you take me to the prom, I'll give you the best night you ever fucking had in your life."
Oh, wow.
And she's like, "In fact, I'll take you in the car right now and rough you up." And me, I was a little half a fag. I'm like, "Not right now because I'm not feeling well. I'm watching football." I swear to God, dog, she was saying dirty shit to me. I couldn't handle it. I could not handle it later. She got crazy. The bump in the head.
Oh.
Like, just made her go crazy. And today she won't talk to me on Facebook. She won't even be my friend.
Why? She
bumped into a friend of mine. My friend bumped into her at some office, and my friend goes, "You know, I still talk to Coco." She goes, "You know what, man? I don't want to talk to him. When I was a kid, I still feel it was him and the other guy who pushed me off that bike." And,
oh.
And I tried to reach out to her, and no, she didn't say nothing. So I moved on with my life. What am I going to do? I loved her, and she was my friend. And
but you didn't push her off the bike.
I didn't push her off the bike.
No.
That's not in my DNA.
No, I don't think it would.
No. I liked her as a... We were kids, bro. When you're kids, we were kids. You know, we were fucked up, but we wouldn't.
They probably put that in her head, though. Probably somebody limited or something like
you
that.
You don't know, because after she came out of the hospital, I went to her house every day. Her mother was cool with me. They told him the truth. It wasn't... He didn't push me. We were just... We went for the bike. We explained. The thing was fucking loose. Because the brother at that time, he had heard what my mother did. And he didn't like me too much at the time. He was kind of mad. But the people who were there told him what happened. But before that dumb fuck came to my house with his father with the Corvette. And my Cuban dad was out there, Juan, the crazy one, the one that's Abagua, that they dedicate their life to San Lazaro. They don't even like, if they walk in a room, a gay guy can't be in the room.
Right.
Like, that's how fucking, they don't eat pussy. You know that. That style of Cuban don't eat pussy and shit. And he was, I'll never forget, he was outside mowing the lawn, and I was doing something on the balcony at the front of the house, and we saw the Corvette pulling up. And I go, Papa, yes, if we're Depot, that's the dude who said that I pushed New York, and that's the father in Albie. And I'll never forget that my father looked at me, he had like the white wife beater, like, I mean, set that China, you know, that is the Chinese Cuban shirt.
Yes.
With the buttons, he had white shorts on with his white little flip-flops on. And he walked over, and I seen him doing something in the bush. And he pulled the .45 out of the bush, but he didn't pull it up to shoot or nothing. He pulled it up and he straightened up and he just had the gun on his side. And you could see that Albie and his dad saw the gun. They put that vent into reverse. And that was the end of that fucking thing. They never said nothing again, you know, so. But I know that she had a lot of problems with her dad years later. Like, he wouldn't talk to her. Then I went to school with another girl. I'm still very tight with her and her husband. And the father, when she was 15, the father told the mother, Mina, two things. She can't have those shorts on.
Oh, no.
That's number one.
Absolutely.
And number two, that little kid can't come in this house.
Yep.
And the mother said, Jesus, whatever your name is, you know, they're kids. They're not doing anything. And she goes, listen, I was a kid at one time, too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to tell you another time. I don't want the kid in the house. Oh, she's not ready for it. She was 15 or 16. And those shorts, she can't wear them. The next day, the father came home. The kid was on the couch, and she had the shorts on. He went downstairs, packed his bags, and left. He just showed up 2 years ago to see her baby. Cuban dads are fucking crazy, bro.
Yeah, yeah. No, the you know what? The short shorts and the shirts with the low cuts, we were not allowed to wear any of that. We that's sitting on your uncle's lap. Like, my dad was like,
no disrespect at all. Nothing.
No, he
nothing.
Was so...
Couldn't jump on men?
No.
No, nothing.
No, y que no le pele los dientes. ¿A quién tú le estás pelando los dientes? Like, all that cheesing and smiling when a man would come to the house.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd be like, go to the room and go put your teeth away, because those teeth are not for you to be showing to other men. It was extreme. Like, my dad did not play this shit.
I read a book by John Leguizamo, and he says in the book that Latin men are, you know, spoiled by their mother. Mm-hmm. They're kings. My mother spoiled me, and I always say that if my mom wouldn't have died, not that I would have turned out weak, because my mom had my back. You know, moms have everything. You can tell them whatever. Right. It was that I had the muscles, but I would have never used them.
Right.
You know, I had the DNA. My mother came from a family of nine. My dad was a street hustler. He got into the numbers. They came from Cuba with nothing, and they made a ton of fucking money. She had two bars. Right. You know, and I respect that. So I had the muscles, but I was never going to have to use them because I was raised spoiled. But she also put, like, my mother, when I was five, like, pushed women on me. Like, not sexually, but, oh, yeah, what do you think of that woman?
Yes, just to check you,
to
check your
me.
Temperature.
My mom, you know, I tell stories about her just playing cards with other hot women. My mom was hot. She played cards with other hot women. And you know how Spanish women, oh, it's Walter. Where'd you get those boots from? Let me try them on. I love your skirt. And they would switch skirts, and I'd be five. And my head would blow up. And my mom would look at me and go, middle, middle, all right, we got something to work with.
Uh-huh.
You know, and the ladies would go, wow. And then my mom would make me put underwear on and make me dance for the women. And she'd say, dale jamón, and I'd have to flick my thing. My mom, on the other hand, my mom wanted me to be manly. I didn't have a father until I was six.
Right.
My mom was the one that used to, at the playground, when a kid pushed me around, my mom would call me over and go, oye, that can't exist in my house. Nobody can push you around. Next time he hits you, tócalo. My mom would say, touch him. And then I would be playing and wrestling. Yeah. My mom would go, Jose Antonio, touch him. That meant to punch him, and then she did the extended. That meant this to knock him out.
Yeah.
So on the other hand, my mom put more man into me, where a Cuban tames your...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my dad, for us it was the opposite, because it was the male-female dynamic. And my dad, you know what? I remember one time I was in the hospital with him. We was in the parking lot, and these two dudes were walking towards us, and my dad was like looking. And he pulled out a screwdriver, and he looked at the guys and he said, "I'm a fuck both of you up with this. Don't underestimate this. I know you come in to steal and you come in to rape, but we're gonna all die tonight. but you will not rape her. And I was like, well, what made you think he was going to rape me? They were going to rape me. He said, what the fuck do you think they were coming over here for? These tires? He was just always on.
How old were you at that time?
I was
13. I'm the same way.
13, because he was like, estás en desarrollo. In the adolescent years.
That's when a guy won. They listen, these animals will take anything now, so.
And he would throw people out the house. Like, I remember a man came over that was a friend of his, and the way that he looked at us, he looked at me, he said, oh, fuera. He threw him out of the house. Fuera de aquí. And the man was like, pues, pero, ¿qué te pasa, Orlando? Que yo vi que tú estabas vacilando a mi hija. Para carajo, you know.
No shit.
Yeah, he was like, I saw you looking at her with the wrong eyes. He was like, get the fuck out of my house before I go get my gun. He was so like, but you know what? He was right.
He's right.
That
listen,
dude,
man,
was a weirdo.
I ain't fucking crazy.
His intuition was
crazy.
Always on point.
Listen, I got street intuition. And yeah. I know I had bad thoughts at one time.
Right.
So when I came to you with those bad thoughts, now I know what it looks like.
Oh, yeah.
I know what it looks like at all times. I know what the foot. The pacing of the footing, the breathing, yeah. I know it because yeah. I lived it. I lived it in more ways than one. I lived it as a thief, as a drug dealer, as a fucking dude that was going to take you down. I know the pacing, the breathing. You know it. So you see it.
Yeah.
You know, I know when I'm horned up. I know when somebody fucking swoops me and I can't think. And and you get into that moment. You know, thank God I'm not a tree jumper and I would rip a lady's shirt off or something like that. But I know what it looks like because I've been there.
Oh, yeah.
So I know all the fucking signs.
You know? Yeah.
What? And I hate to say this. What I think, I've been watered down over the years. What I think a woman should act like and a guy should act like is completely different from what they act like today. If I had the time, I'd give you the list. If we had the time tonight, I'd give you the list. And you die, because I came from a different cloth.
Oh, yeah, we grew up like
when
that.
I moved here with a girl that was a whore. She tried to contain herself, but she was a whore. And she was a stripper, and when people would talk to her, she'd talk. You know, I grew up with a girl in Jersey that was, she looked like you. Her name was Regina Gordon. God have her in her soul. She died when she was 49. She was young. She was Puerto Rican and black. Oh, no. Black and Italian,
mm-hmm.
And her mother died. She lived with her cousins in my hometown, and I knew her boyfriend. And when my mother died, she called me, and her and I were friends. And she was a half a whore, but she was a woman.
Right.
Again, you know, little things. Like, she was a half a whore with my friend, and she would dump him and go out with an older guy and then go back to him. But she was a woman. She acted like a woman at all times, you know? And I remember being in the city with her one night,
mm-hmm.
And talking to a friend of mine from high school, and I left Regina at the bar stool, and there was two bar stools open, and some guy came over, and before the guy was like sitting there, like, you know how people try to be friendly, and she's like, before you get comfortable, dog, somebody was sitting there, and I don't want to hear your fucking story, take a hike.
Yeah.
And I was like 5 feet away, and I'm like, damn, that's that's what I grew up with.
Yeah, that's how.
And then 20 years later one night, I'm with the stripper at the Improv. I'll never forget this. And I just moved to L.A., you know, and I knew she was a dirty fucking whore, so I knew what I was going in with, you know. She was the type of girl that wanted to shoot pool and all that dumb shit in a fucking bar. And I went to go to the bathroom, and I come back, and Jackie Flynn, the comic, is sitting there talking to her. And I remember going, that's the difference between the women I grew up with and these fucking savages that are here. You know, they're talking about grapes, and, my God, I go to Rouse, too, and... You know, and I'm like, Jack, what? Oh, we would take a fucking hike. You know this. He was in the corner. He was watching me the whole time. I was watching him. I just wanted to test him to see if he was going to be that fucking stupid. Because then again, where I come from, that's a smack to the face, and you got to take it like a man.
That's right.
Because even when you tell the cop I sat there, he's going to go, dog, he saw you sitting there, so when he went to the bathroom, you moved in. In my neighborhood, that's a smack to the fucking mouth. But in today's society, man, he wasn't doing nothing. They were just talking. Oh, my God, you're such an animal. You have to learn to control your anger. No, dog, there's a fucking code, stupid motherfucker, and that I still live by. Like, I don't fuck. Listen, I'm going to tell you guys something just so you know. When it comes to my wife, I will do 20 years.
Yep.
I will slice your fucking throat when it comes to my wife. I don't even play. A couple of years ago, I was with a couple of comics, and a comic said something side, and I fucking jumped on him before he finished his sentence. I said shit to him. That next night, I went home, and Rogan called me. He was like, Joey, I never saw nothing like that. I go, listen, spread the word. You saw that the other night. When it comes to my wife, you will sit there bleeding.
Yep,
and I will not mind. I'll do it in front of everybody just so the hint gets out there. So even when I'm in prison, they know I'll come out and slice them again. Like when it comes to my wife, you could disrespect me. Once you disrespect my wife, I just stop talking to you. Because the next step, I'm going to fucking slap. I just get fucking furious. You know? But that's how I was raised.
Yeah, that's how I was raised.
The dumb whore, you could have disrespected her because I knew where she was coming from. She went to the pool table. You called her a stupid cunt. That's what you get for playing pool.
Yeah.
But my wife wouldn't do that. My wife wouldn't act that way. Like, I'm going to go play with these three fucking guys. What are you fucking kidding me?
That's how
we What are you fucking kidding me?
They Lady, seem like, this is real shit.
They seem like fun. They don't want to sleep with me. No. They just want to shoot pool with you.
Yeah.
You're a fucking whore. You know they want to fuck you. And that's the hand you're playing, you miserable fuck.
That's how I That was my dad. My dad would be like, what you smiling about?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Why do we see teeth? Like, my sister would be like, I don't understand.
Did your dad grow up poor?
Yeah, he grew up poor. He worked really hard for everything. When he came to America, he drove a truck. He fixed windows. He had a business. Los Numero. Like, he did a hustler.
So he did something on the
Absolutely.
Side. Okay, every Cuban does something on the
yeah,
side.
Everybody, you know.
Because you don't have a gun unless you're slinging.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he didn't do no drugs.
No, he didn't do drugs.
Never caught him?
No, I never caught him.
Yes, you did.
No, I never caught him. And if I did, I'd never tell because I have a code.
Right, okay.
But listen, he used to tell people on the sound, cuando tú naciste, yo estaba parado en la esquina. Like, he was like, don't try to
that
run game on me.
That means when you were born, I was already on the corner, and yeah. I'm the same way.
Don't try to run game on me, man. That was the biggest offense to him, is to try to run.
Yo te tengo Lee, what's the conversation we have? We have these conversations every day with Liam.
Oh, my God.
Who think, like, you just fell off the fucking boat, yes. And they come to you, you know, what's that, what's those podcast people? We'd love for you to come to the network. You get 50% of your avatar. Did I just fall off a tree? Just because I go to your offices in Beverly Hills, I got to give you 50% of the take? Even the mafia only takes 15. The mafia takes 15. And this town is filled with those people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, man, I always... God gave me one gift. I don't care about, like, when we discuss this, I don't care about the Martians.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about Jeb Bush. I never have. I'm not going to lie to anybody since I was a kid, even before the felonies.
Yeah.
It seemed like it's the same bullshit every 4 years, and we believe
it. Doesn't matter who it is.
And every year we get into more and more debt, and every year, so don't stop it. I believe in people. I believe in people. I want to know what makes them tick.
Yep.
You know? And I could see when somebody's coming from the fucking... I know when somebody wants for you to walk down a bad street with you. Because there's people that only walk down bad streets and they only take somebody with them.
Right.
You know, there's people that's what they do in their life. They just... I think my background and your background, they didn't scare us. My mother didn't scare me and say... Mm-mm. My mother wanted me to enhance it. But she wanted me to go in with a different eyeball.
Yep.
Don't worry about this. Worry about this. It's like, you know, we were talking before about my wife wanted to save the kid that day, and she walked away from Mercy because she was in Studio C. I'm like, you know, what are you fucking crazy? I don't fall for nothing.
No.
I don't give up. The last time I fell for something, I fell for a three-car Monte game on 49th and fucking 9th. Okay? And then my buddy started yelling at me for falling for the game, and while he was yelling at me, I saw him look, go in his pocket, and he lost $20. And I never forgot that lesson. You always got to see where they're coming from.
Yep.
You got to get up early in the morning to come to me with a story, especially like comedians.
Oh, yeah.
Dog, nothing's going on for me because you ain't putting in the fucking work.
That's right.
And now you want to come bring your sorrow on me and make me feel bad. Well, bro, don't you have a couple of weeks you could take me on the road? What's that going to do for you?
That's right.
What's that going to do for you? For you to tell your friends you went on the road? That's not gonna make you get on stage 7 times a week. That's not going to make you work harder, you know. I had a fucked up family growing up, man. My father died. My mother died. There was drugs. There was numbers. There was weapons. But you know what, man? They never lied to me. They toughened me up. They prepared me. I mean, my mom set me out there at the age of 15. And I could look you in the eye like a man. Nobody ever fucked me. I never sucked nobody's dick. I never got talked into none of that shit. I went a week before she died, she smacked me in the face. for me not calling her, because my rule in the house was you can come home whenever the fuck you want. You want to come home at 6? Come home at 6. Just call me every hour on the hour and check in with me. And I didn't call her 1 hour. And I came in, she smacked me in the face. The next morning she told me, she goes, listen, I don't give a fuck what you do. Pero, I want you to grow up to be a man.
That's right.
And that's part of it. You got to call. You want, someday you're going to be married. You can do whatever the fuck you want again. I get it. But give your wife the respect and call her every hour. She's not going to be mad at you if you call her every hour. Mira, I'm here with Miguel. Maya. I don't have to work tomorrow. You know, give your wife. And that always stuck with me. She, those little words from my mom. So it's the reason why our conversation on the plane intrigued me was because we were raised by the same person, different genres.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There was no genre in the house. My mom told me exactly how it was. There was a babysitter I had, and my mom pulled me over, and then she goes, listen, don't drink out of the same glasses as she is. Yeah. There's a rumor that she's syphilitica.
Yeah.
Why would you let a babysitter watch me if she's got syphilis? But she grew up with her, Gloria La Loca. Do you know that Gloria is still alive? People tell me when I go to Jersey, bro, do you know Lady Gloria that shakes? I hit her in the head one time with a fucking cazadora. Shoehorn, because she wouldn't let me watch Hawaii 5-0 back in 1960 fucking nine.
You hit her in the head. The metal shoehorn.
But
is that why she shakes?
No, she was shaking way before that. But it was funny. She was beautiful. She's a beautiful Cuban woman with long brown hair to her back and blue eyes. She looked white. She looked, you know, these women looked white, you know.
Right.
And she's still alive. She's still alive, Bergenline. I don't think she's doing anything crazy anymore, but
she outlived all those people that were.
People always tell me, do you know a lady named Gloria? She says that she babysat you when you were a kid. I'm like, tell her leave the number here, because I love to see her just to talk to her. You know?
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah. Oh, the babysitter. Yeah, my babysitter was a drug dealer too. She's an ex-con, 6'2", blonde, a Cuban woman, Esther Dominguez. And this woman was such a gangster, let me tell you. She used to have she had a baby from one of the neighbor's husbands. And nobody ever knew that she had gotten pregnant from this dude that was married. Freddie was married to Judy. And she goes to the grocery store with the baby, and she would pack the stroller with meat. She would steal it. And then one day she was in the grocery store, and they caught her. And she goes, I hate that. Because that's what they used to call me. Agarra la niña, arranca para la casa. Like, grab the baby and go straight to the house. And I'm like, what is going on? She was not afraid of anybody. I've never met somebody. And my mother's fearless. But this woman used to be, like, she used to tell my dad, no le ponga la mano a ella porque nos vamos a empatar tú y yo. Like, if you put your hands on her, we are going to fight. She was square up with my dad. And I grew up with her. And I knew she was, let me tell you, that lady used to go to the mall, steal clothes, and bring it to me and say, now you take it and return it and go get some clothes for school. She always, you know, she was I feel like the people, the street people that I grew up with have more honor and compassion for other humans. You know what I'm saying? Like, you were not allowed to talk bad about prostitutes to my mom, because when my mom she was 9 months pregnant, my dad beat her up, left her in Central Park. She said it was the prostitutes and the junkies that took me to the hospital. So you're not allowed to say you know, like talk down on people because of where they are in life. Because she'd be like, "Hey, you don't know who that person is, where that person came from. We don't do that here. We don't do that here. Why are you laughing?"
Because I have a joke about Puerto Rican Freddie.
Oh,
that he was a liaison in my neighborhood. And he taught you about life. He cut the corners for you.
Yeah.
If you went to him, he'd give you the answers, and that's what we went to when we were kids. We're like, "Tell us about pussy." And one day he's like, enough with the questions. Come by my window on Friday night. I'm going to fuck my girlfriend. I'll let you listen. But that's the people. And you think back about that. Like, today they'll put you in jail for that.
Yeah.
He was serious. He just didn't want to hear no more questions about him. What's pussy like? What's a titty like, bro? Bro, I don't want to. Just come by my window. He charged us all $1 to come by his window and listen to him fuck her. And he left the window. And I remember I'm seeing his ass. That's all I saw was his ass fucking her at 8 o'clock. You know, you had street liaisons that.
This dude, Lee is laughing, but it's true.
I can't. We, like I said, we don't have enough time. Like, my mom left Cuba because she stabbed a guy at a party that raped her younger sister.
Oh, yeah.
And then she came to the United States like in 55. And then she went back in 57 because in the Bronx, she met this chick named Goyin. And Goyin introduced her to taking numbers on the corner. And they got so popular, these two hot chicks taking numbers, that they opened up a bodega in the Bronx in 1960 and were taking numbers. She was dating my father at the time. My father was still in Cuba. His parents were from Camagüey. They were all uppity, drinking and with white suits on and listening to, you know, regular Cuban music with guitars, no congas. That means black people were close. You know what I'm saying? Those Camagüey people, they're uppity fucking people, you know. And my mom went back to Cuba with Goyin's mother's identity, which was Sofia Cecilia.
Wow.
So when my mother came to Cuba, she was Sofia. She stayed, had sex with my dad, had my sister, had me. And then they kept going back. My mom kept traveling under that name with me. So when I was a kid, people would come to the bar and go, "Where's Sofia?" I didn't even know what to say. Like, "Who's Sofia?" "Your mom." Then my mom would come over. "I'm Sofia. Shut the fuck up." All my life. When my mom died, I couldn't even collect Social Security because she never worked under Denora Valdez. She worked under Sofia Cecilia. But these were street people that bonded together. I told a story on Ari's show about her Cuban friend that came to Cuba from her and went to Chicago, and her husband beat her up, and my mom and dad went and picked her up. And she became a drug dealer on 113th in Spanish Harlem.
Yeah.
And my mother and her were, and when my mother died, she took care of me after my, she swore to my mother in the fucking deathbed at the wake that she was going to take care of this motherfucker. And every Sunday she'd bring me $200 and a nickel bag of reefer. That's a different type of character.
That's a
different type of character. They don't have that no more.
They had a code, and you know, you pay attention to somebody who's talking about somebody else, and they'd be like, "Oh, that's who you are." It was, the detectors were so sharp back then. They knew, they could see you coming from a mile away and say, "That right there, that's not made up of what we're made up. So turn this way." And I grew up like that. I grew up, and sometimes my friends are like, you know, you're like, when my dad, we go with him and he sits down, he doesn't get up to fix a plate. He knows one of us is going to fix it for him. And my friend was like, "That's a chauvinist." And I'm like, "No, that's the king of our castle. And he will die for us." And so he gets a certain respect for that, because that's, you can't buy that. And that's just how we were raised. He was a product of how he grew up, and I could never hold him accountable for that. That is what I think you talk about your mom. Those people had to make it happen. It was not optional. They would figure out a way to make it happen, and they had to do whatever they had to do to take care of their family, because family always comes first. And it's just a different time and a different makeup. My dad, I knew that when he said he was going to be somewhere at 5 o'clock, he was going to be there. I knew he was going to be there. He would be there at 4:59. And I have nothing but respect for him. I don't hold any of what he did out of ignorance against him, because I knew that it all came with the best heart intentions. Like, when I knew that he was watching me at school, I knew he was just trying to protect me from myself, because I could have just been a statistic. And, you know, when my mom would take me to the doctor, he would tell her, "Pregúntale si es señorita." Like, he'd be like, "Check to see if she's still a virgin."
Oh, my God.
And now they consider that, you know, private, violating someone's privacy. But we didn't have privacy when we were growing up. That was their house. We just lived there. And he would be like, "Oye, averigua si es señorita. Find out if she's a virgin." Because there were, but I knew that that was just his way of expressing love. But I knew I could count on him. And I could count on the people on the block.
I look at my daughter, man, and I worry about me. Like, I had a daughter taken from me, but I think of the stuff I was doing in front of her, the stuff that she was seeing at that early age, because that's how I was raised.
Right.
I was raised at an early age. I'm not here to lie. We all lie, you know? We all make mistakes. We get excited. We exaggerate. Whatever the fuck you do. But I'm not living a lie.
Right.
You know, People, okay. I get 80 fucking emails a week, 40 of them are like, you're real. We come up to you and talk to you. You know.
Yeah.
I was raised to be real. I was raised that if you don't like that person, don't smoke his pot.
That's right.
If you don't like that person, why are you taking a ride from? You don't like, you know how many fucking emails I get a week about this? Listen, why are you emailing me to tell me that Lee or you don't like me or you don't like the sound? Just fucking move on with your life. All of a sudden, life is Yelp. Everybody wants to Yelp people. Well, I don't think, who gives a fuck what you think? You think when I'm fucking shopping, I'm bouncing my daughter at the fucking park, I'm worried about what the fuck you think? I really don't. I really don't. And if you think people are really acting like that, you're fucking mistaken.
Yeah.
Nobody gives a fuck. I don't give a fuck. When I'm with my kid or with my wife, I don't give a fuck. I really don't. You know, somebody called me the other day, hey man, they want to see you at 5:45. That's my kid time, dog. Am I picking up an envelope? No, they want to see you for a project. And they can see me at 10:45 tomorrow. No, I don't give a fuck about your fucking... A lot of people don't have that freedom. I don't have any other way to live. I don't know any other way to live. You know, I don't know if it was... Was it that day on the plane where you... No, that Sunday, that little... Where we land? No. I went somewhere after I didn't see you. I went to Oklahoma. I have a new rule when I'm in public. I look at the nicest white person. If he gets aggravated, then I got all the green light. You understand me? I look for the nicest white family. If they start getting mad, then until they don't get mad, I'm not allowed to get mad.
That's hilarious.
That's my new rule.
What level of anger, though?
I go right to 10. As soon as I see a nice white person get mad.
What do they have to do?
Hey, what the fuck is going on here? The rules. Somebody's cutting it, you know, whatever the fuck thing they mind fuck they got. Okay? I don't say a word till the gentiest Gentile goes off. Once the nicest white guy in the fucking airport or wherever it goes off, I'm his backup. I'm his backup. That's my new rule in public because I'm an asshole. I'm an asshole, I know it. That's my new fucking rule, you know? Oh, yeah, he's fucked up like a can of worms and shit. I look at my daughter now, this little 2-year-old. She's going through that thing now. She's going through her daddy thing. You know, I got to tiptoe out of the house at night. There's some nights I could pick her up and go, Daddy's going to work, and I'll kiss her and she'll go, bye-bye. But it's getting few and far between. You know, I can't. When I see her at the pool, she gets excited. And it makes me feel good, but it makes me mad because the other girl I had was the same way and even worse. The first one, and they talked her out of it. These fucking people who walk around like they're, you know, like the family, like when you go to their house to eat, when you're walking down the stairs, they all come out and hug each other and wave at you as a family. That's the hand she's playing, but she took this kid from me, you know what I'm saying? And I knew where I came from. My dad was in numbers, my mom did the numbers, my mom did blow, whatever the fuck. But they raised a man. I mean, her influence in my life was so strong that all I ever worked for was for to get to where I am now. That now I could, if I die, I could walk into hell or heaven and go, I did a lot of fucked up shit, but I turned my life around. You know what I'm saying? I ended up, no, just give me that one. Wait, what the fuck you gotta have?
I had some from it.
Oh, then give me another one.
That's what I was just saying.
You gonna give me some Jewy germs and shit. You know what I'm saying? Next thing you know, I'm walking around all confused.
Bro, 3 stars.
But I look at I can't believe, like, right now, the Cuban in me wants to stop what I'm doing, get a knife, and go chop their heads off, you know?
Right.
Because that's the Cuban in me. Like, that, you know, they took something from me. I stayed hit. You know what I'm saying? Like, right now. But I can't do that. The nice Cuban in me has to accept it and move on with their life. You know what I'm saying? No, that time on the plane, you fucked with my head. I had to check myself when I went home. I had to go home and look at my daughter's picture and check myself because, you know what, man? I'm like that about him. If I love you, I got your back to the end. Right. I'm old school.
Yep.
I yelled at him the other day for watching 9 episodes of Black is Orange because who's got 9 hours to do something? You know, 5 years from now, he's going to go, I'm broke. And I'm going to go, maybe you shouldn't have watched those 9 episodes that Friday. Maybe something would have happened. Maybe even if you went to 7-Eleven and bought a lottery ticket. Anything's better than watching 9 episodes. A lot of people think that, like, I'm yelling at them. No. That's what a man does. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what right. The fuck? Nobody else is going to say that to him. You know what they're going to tell him? Is, oh, my God. That's such a fun day. Binge TV walked. What binge? What binge? Get the fuck out there and go make 200. Then you come home and watch 2 episodes. 9 episodes. But to the common person, they're like, you're picking on Lee.
Yeah,
no, no, I'm not picking on Lee, dog. I'm looking out for Lee.
Yeah.
In 2 years, one day Lee's going to come up to me and go, dog, you were right. He's not going to. Yesterday, he looked at me like I had 3 eyes. He told me the week before his girlfriend was sick. And I told him, if your girlfriend's sick on a Friday, you ain't no doctor. Take her home. You got work to do. Eh or no way. Yeah. Right or wrong, you know. To some people, they're like, that's cruel and punishment. If she ain't going to suck your dick, why are you having her around for? She's sick. Take her home. You ain't Dr. Zhivago. Pick her up later on. Give her some soup. But why
that
you want those?
That was very Cuban.
No,
yeah.
I used to have a girlfriend that was hotter than shit about 50, before Terry. Before I dated my wife, I had this little white freak. And she had good pussy. And I'd bring cocaine over, and she let me put rocks in her ass and shit. But I was a coke fiend. You know what I'm saying? I even looked out for my coke. Before I got there, I took a little bit out of a package for me. I wasn't going to give her all the coke. I would call. She would call me and go, where are you? But I knew when she was going to get her period. I knew those 5 days. What am I going to go over there for? She got a period. I don't want to see you. I'm going to give you coke. I can't do nothing to talk to you. That's how I really... Ada's looking at me. I can't believe it. That's how I really fucking think, Ada. You waste him. I'm going to go over there and eat that bloody pussy. I don't want to see that disgust. But anyway, when I said that to him, he looked at me all weird. I didn't mean it, but he knows where I'm coming from.
Right.
That, you know, and nobody else is going to tell you that. People are like, well, that's so sweet. You're taking the day off to take care of your girlfriend. Fuck you with this. I need a chick on my couch coughing and shit. Sitting there, laying there, demanding soup, and it's cold and it's hot. Go to your mother's house. They'll take care of you there. I got work to do. I got fucking work to do. You know what I'm saying? You got to, you know, and that's what. My mother used to get me up every morning and say, you got to look at the sun. Who sleeps till 9 o'clock in the morning?
That's right.
You know, those little things I thank her for today.
Yeah.
I thank her for all those things that toughen me the fuck up. What are you talking about basketball? What do you mean? No. You got to walk up to 57th. You got to pay the fucking phone bill. Remember when you had to pay the phone bill in person?
Mm-hmm.
Those were my chores. I couldn't go to my mother. I didn't know what I was doing till the next day. Like, I didn't have no fucking plans. Like, oh, I'm going to go to Disneyland. Oh, no. You got to go pay the mortgage. I left you a check for $800, and I left you the phone bill for $44. Go pay it. How do I get there? Walk. Get some exercise. It's nice out. You're 10 years old. And don't let nobody take that fucking check.
Yes.
She used to put a chain on my neck, right? This, like a chain like this, and go, don't let nobody touch in the first grade. Like a thick gold chain. They're taking a PS-166. Don't let nobody touch it. She was testing me.
Yes.
She was teaching me, dog.
Yeah.
You know, who does that with their kid today? Today your kid gets pushed. You write a documentary about getting bullied. Can you fucking believe that? Can you fucking believe that?
Joke about
they either
that.
Get bullied, they either have autism, or they're allergic to peanuts. Every kid got a fucking problem. When I was a kid, you were either a dummy or you were fucking on the ball. Right or wrong? You were either a retard without the chinky eyes or you were a fuckhead. Fuck it. It's Wednesday night, cocksuckers. Let me give you some shout-outs here, and we'll get the fuck out of here. Paul Lynch, Don Salazurulo, Chung Kennedy. You know I love you, Chung. No offense with the Chinese joke. Lloyd, Brady Ferguson, you bad motherfucker. Thank you for drawing that for your Uncle Joey. Kevin Kruss, Joe Kravitz, Awkward 420, and 300 Rummy. You bad motherfuckers. So talk to me. What's been going on after the last comic? You're on the road. You're selling out. Spanish people ain't showing up. You know, what the fuck?
They think that I'm going to draw the Latino whistle. I'm going to blow the Latino whistle.
Club owners come in like, what happened? There's not enough fucking Spanish people. We made tortilla chips.
So I've been special
on fish tacos.
The fish tacos are delicious. I've been going all over the country, and I just came back from Dallas, Texas. All
right.
Where they got a little tight on me, but I was in Denver a few weeks before, and they were cool, and in Portland, they were cool. But I will let you.
Did you go to Helium?
Yeah, I did.
How cool is that club?
I love it there.
Did you get the Cuban sandwich?
No, I didn't. I didn't know they had a Cuban sandwich.
They got a Cuban sandwich. I don't think that. I think they took it off the menu. It ain't bad.
Oh, really?
It's very...
They got a lot of Cuban food in Portland when I went the last time.
Yeah, it's very avant-garde, but I tell you, I hate ranch dressing. Fucking hate it. I don't even like it on the table with me. They got spicy flame ranch. It'll change your life. With tater tots. Lisa Ayat told me he'll put one in his little culo, and she let the Mexican smoke his pipe when she's coughing and shit. Disgusting. How high are you, Lee?
Lee keeps falling asleep.
The highest, probably.
Oh my God. You're pretty high yourself. That fucking star hit you. You got to see your little eyes. You look beautiful.
Thank you.
You're very beautiful, man.
I appreciate that.
So what else is going on? They're offering you TV deals.
Yeah, we're working on some TV stuff. Oh, you already, you know the, how many people do you know that have had development deals?
Everybody.
So, yeah, I've been talking to, but you know, I've been writing my own stuff and I'm working on my own stuff. I put my own shows up. I make my own movies, my own little independent movies. And Thomas Edison said, everything comes to he who hustles while he waits. So I live by that. I don't have that lazy blood. I can't just sit around and do it. I have to be doing something.
Watch 9 episodes of Black is Orange.
Orange is the New Black.
I'll fucking kill you, cocksucker.
Nah, I can't.
You're lucky I love you.
And I don't wake. I wake up at 7 in the morning every day.
You have to.
Yeah,
it's just, even when I was doing drugs, I'm up early. Yeah, just certain little fucking things make a difference, you know.
And, yeah.
I had a lot of help growing up from friends, and that I love Lee. Lee knows that he's a bad motherfucker. You know, Lee lost like 100 pounds and shit.
Oh, congratulations, Lee.
You
gotta
see, it's thong season. Almost. Lee's going for it. He's gonna go to the Jewish Community Center to learn how to swim.
Your dad
was thinking about you. They have free swimming classes at the Jewish Community Center in Sherman Oaks,
yep.
And they teach you how to swim. The guy was an Olympian, Larry Krasuski. He's from Israel.
Yeah.
Fucking pretty interesting shit, man. I was gonna tell you, go up there and show him the physique.
My mom took us to swimming lessons like our entire life. I'm a good swimmer.
Good for you. You should go over there to the Jewish Community Center. It's free. Just go in there, Rosh Hashanah, give him a hug. Fuck it. Look at the fucking shape of you.
Dude, 375.
Who gives a fuck? Last week I gave you 800, but I didn't tell you and you weren't half as high. When I dose him, I give him like 800 milligrams. He don't know nothing. He walks out of here, but he knows the numbers, and then he starts doing the math and he starts scaring himself. You're onto something. You're onto something. It's just the right fucking thing and the right fucking channel.
Thank you.
You're onto something. I don't say that to a lot of people. There's not a lot, you know, I put a lot of women comics on this show. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of women comics. Like, right. I don't like what people say that women are not funny. There's nights I've walked into a club and I've laughed at you. I've laughed at dozens of women. Listen, you want me to tell you I fucking fell off my chair and puked? No.
Right, right.
But you hit me. You fucking hit me. Right. You know what I'm saying? You caught me at that moment, and now I became a fan because I know how hard it is for a woman.
Yeah.
I know how hard it is, you know. I used to go to Ivana Chubbuck.
Oh, yeah.
Ivana Chubbuck is the... And you know what, man? If she wasn't such a fucking witch anymore, I would recommend you to go. I would even fucking give you the dough to go because you'd be... She had 2 Oscar winners, and they were both tall and lanky. That's what she likes. She had Charlize Theron, and she had the black girl, right?
Yeah.
The year before. What's her name?
Halle Berry.
Halle Berry. She had Halle Berry in there. And I remember going to the masterclass to watch, and she had women stripping down naked. Like, she had... That's what she'd do to women.
Right.
She would break you down, and a lot of women would quit. I remember in my medium class, I had to do a scene from the movie Harvey
mm-hmm.
with what's his name, and they put a girl in that scene that was beautiful, and I had to make out with her. Do you know how fucking embarrassed I was? Oh my God, I felt so embarrassed for the girl. I couldn't even do it. I didn't even show up that day to do the fucking scene, make out with a stranger for free. Get the fuck out of here. I was embarrassed. Oh my God. But that's the acting. That's yeah. how they teach you. But they said she was the best with women. She was, once you got to her level, she would rock you. But now it's not that what it is. Now the master class is for people to say it's the master class. 15 years ago when I got here, bro, the master class started at 7. There was a line at 4
right.
for people to go watch in the back, like agents and TBS and people like that. But now it's just a bunch of kids with tattoos with hats, birds on their fucking shoulders, telling people they're actors and shit. You shooting a special or anything like that?
I've been working on my my hour. I've been working on it. But I'm not putting it out until... I've never put out an hour. I don't do those DVDs and put my stand-up out there like that.
You don't sell tickets after... You don't sell DVDs after shows?
No, I sell shirts. But I haven't done an hour yet because I want a good hour.
I
really want a good one. And I've only been doing stand-up 7 years. So I've just started... I'm just really getting started to me. Like, a lot of people that I know that started with me think that they're like, they've arrived. And
No,
such a long way to go.
You know, at the 10-year mark, you think you've arrived, and I tell you, it becomes something else at 14 or 15.
I heard that.
Then for me, the light went off at, I can't lie to you, the light went off at 18.
Wow.
I got it, I just didn't want to do it. It was in front of me, but I didn't want to make that little commitment, because you got to make the commitment in your mind first to be a headliner, to go home at night and really put pieces together and really look at your material. And I can't tape myself. I can't hear my voice.
I know, it's enough.
So I have a hard time. So sometimes Lee does the sets with me, not tonight, because he's not going to even remember where I take him. But I started working a little harder to get, you know, there's the MC level, there's the feature level.
Right.
And then you could be a feature. You know, people throw the word headliner around, and it takes a long time. And you're very lucky. And I'll tell you why, because they threw you into the mouth of the lion.
Right.
That's the way to make a headliner. You don't make a headliner by saying, well, you know, feature him for a year. No, headline that motherfucker. And one day at the 8-month mark, you'll go, oh, shit. Oh, I get it. Hit him hard for 18, pulled it back for 7. Now you got 25. Pick it back up till about 35. Let them drop tabs. Warm them up, massage their balls, and then fucking adjust all the fucking missiles and read it down. 5, 4, and hit them with 7 minutes of just death. And you get out of there at the 50-minute mark, and everybody's fucking happy.
Right.
But before that, you're putting those chunks together. But you have to pick up that spine, too.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy for you, because I wish people were headlining me at the 7-year mark. I was petrified.
Yeah.
I was very content with doing 18 minutes and running the fuck out of it and going and doing blow.
And people coming up to you saying, you were the funniest.
That's
the worst.
I hate that shit. And it just, I hate when I was a feature, people would come up to me and go, oh, you were better than the headliner. Who gives a fuck? He's the one that's getting fucking $28,000 fucking dollars.
Exactly.
And, you know, I'm funnier than him. Who gives a shit? Get the fuck away from me. Thank you. Ada, where you at next?
Thank you. I'm going to Japan to entertain our troops.
Okay, that's not bad.
No, I know, but because of what you said, that the people used to come up to that. They come up to that now. That's their first joke. And then I'm going to do the Home Field Comedy Club in Miami on July 9th and 10th.
That's a good little fucking club there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Up and down that strip, they got 10 million little Cuban places. You just pull over, people talk to you, you get a couple potatoes, you get a little coffee.
Coffee,
and
eat.
You're good to go. There's a gym, there's a little mail-it.
Oh, okay.
Mail-it center. Real nice people around there, you know?
Oh, I'm looking forward. Yeah, I'll be there July 9th.
I love you to death, man. That was,
I love you, too.
Oh,
it reminds me of home.
On the flight, you... Well, you brought me home that day a little bit too much. I had to go home and smoke some pot and break it down in my head. But besides that, let me give the fucking sponsors and get the fuck out of here, Lisa, before he passes out on me. First off, a beautiful shout out to my people, Onnit.com, for all your supplements. It all starts with Alpha Brain, brother. What the mind can conceive, the body can achieve. You know what I'm saying? You want to do 3 push-ups? Take some motherfucking Alpha Brain. 100% money back guarantee. They don't even want the product back. But what they do have is Hemp Force Protein. They have the Shroom Tech Sport and the Shroom Tech Immune. If you fly a lot and people fucking cough on you and pick their noses and you don't wash your fucking tray, then you'll get Ebola. You don't want Ebola, get fucking Shroom Tech Immune. That's the simple thing right there. Shroom Tech Sports, you want a little boost in your lungs from quadriceps mushrooms? That's what you take right there. But listen, don't believe me. Go to Onnit.com. Read what they got. If you like something, go to the box and press in.
Church.
Boom! And get 10% off, and it gets delivered to your house. You like the product? You want to get it delivered to your house every month? Check the fucking box, and they got the Stay On It program. Excuse me. I had a little fucked up thing in my throat where it goes directly to your house. All right? Onnit.com, the leader in supplements and... whatever that big word is. I forget from time to time.
Optimization.
I don't have a mom right now, but whenever I go to jiu-jitsu, whenever I go to the gym, I wear MeUndies, okay? You're like, Joey, why? Why? Because they keep everything in place. They pull the sweat out of your body. Nothing is moist down there. Your balls don't stink. They also have them for females and males. They have T-shirts. They got great cut-off shorts, like those sweatpants that you cut off the knees. They got them all ready for you. They got these great little thin T-shirts that you wear under your gi, like half rash guards. They just have some great products. But don't take it from me. Go to MeUndies.com right now. Take a look around at all the selection of men and women's underwear, tight underwear, boxer underwear. They got some sexy stuff for your girlfriend. If it's Father's Day, you want to get the guy something, this is your opportunity. Listen, I'm going to give you 20% off and free shipping right now on your first. Go to MeUndies.com and press in.
Joey.
Boom! And get 20% off and free shipping in Canada and the United States. All right, listen. They're a little on the fuck. They're $20. But these things last for a long time. How many times you go to fucking Target and you buy three sets of underwear for $20 and all of them disintegrate after a fucking summer between your ball sweat and the fucking washing machine? MeUndies, I've had the same MeUndies since February. They fit tremendously. The cup fits. Everything is beautiful.
Something happened to me at jiu-jitsu. You always say they keep like your balls in. It popped out all at jiu-jitsu. Yeah. It was crazy. Like,
that's why you got to get the MeUndies, Leah, right? But don't believe me. Go to MeUndies.com and press in.
Joey.
Boom! Get 20% off and free shipping in Canada and the United States. Let me talk to you about something, right? Today, I'm sitting there and I'm talking to the fucking advertising guy about Blue Apron. And I'm fucking starving. I'm stoned. My wife's at some fucking doctor's appointment. The baby's at preschool. I'm sitting there by myself, and everything I had in the house was high carbs and shit. And I'm sitting there like, what the fuck can I eat? And I get off the phone with the guy, and the guy goes, like, when was the last time you had a box from Blue Apron? I go, that one time with some great stuff. They haven't sent another one. I hang up with him. I go out to my balcony to smoke a number, and what's on my balcony? A box from fucking Blue Apron, dog. I took that motherfucker in the kitchen. I opened it up. Listen, I'm not a good cook, even if they send me the recipe. They send you recipes, but you give them straight to your fucking wife. That's what I did. Well, let's talk about this, all right? I mean, who the fuck wants to cook when you get home after work? Or you got to go wait in line at the fucking grocery store, and then you got to cook a fucking meal and cut shit? No. That's where a new service, Blue Apron, comes in, all right? Blue Apron delivers, and they even had a fucking lemon in there. Like, for the cod, they even had a fucking lemon in there for the cod. I seen the lemon, I seen the shallots, I seen everything, and everything smelled fresh. The fucking onions were fresh. When I go to my supermarket, when I go to fucking Ralph's, I don't know what I'm getting half the time. Sometimes the apples are good, but the melons are hard. The avocados are always fucking bad. The mangoes are always fucking bad. Everything was fucking tremendous, all right? They give you ingredients. They give you farm-fresh ingredients. They give you step-by-step recipes, allowing you to create the most healthiest handcrafted meal at home without going to the fucking grocery store. And guess what? For less than $10 a meal. That's right. You heard it right here. They'll send you fresh ingredients, perfectly fucking proportioned and measured, making cooking healthy meals really easy and fun. How's that for you? You invite some fucking girlfriend over, and you want to impress her. You whip out this fucking box. She thinks you're fucking Houdini. Let me tell you what the menu was this week, all right? For two people, it was beautiful seared steaks with mashed potatoes, hoisin meatballs with brown rice, and fucking hueros rancheros. And for the fucking family plan, it was Italian meatballs and Mexican fried rice. You're like, Joey, what's Mexican fried rice? I had no fucking idea, but it looked delicious in the picture, all right? But hey, what do you believe me for? You want it for date night, you want to cook with friends, even for family, they're kid-friendly, and each meal is 500 to 700 calories per serving, all right? And everything's good. The last box I got, I think I got fish the one night, my wife got some lamb chops, and I forget, like some Italian stuff, and all three meals were delicious, at least the two that I had. But what do you give a fuck, all right? You're sitting there going, Joey, what do you got for me? You cook incredible meals and be blown away by the quality and the freshness. So do this for me, all right? Check out this week's menu and get two free meals by going to blueapron.com/Joey. That's blueapron.com/Joey. That's right. Two free meals. My fucking treat. That's how I'm working it tonight. And you're going, Joey, what else you got? You're trying to sell me underwear and fucking vitamins, and now you got food that comes to your house, and it gets delivered, and I got to cook it. That's a fucking great idea. Guess what else I got for you? Bam! Fucking snacks, all right? Nutritious, delicious, fucking, you don't have to go to the vending machine no more. You don't have to get potato chips. I mean, they got real nice snacks like garlic plantain chips Ada, this is right down your fucking avenue. You understand me? A little salsa to your night. They got regular fucking South Pacific plantains. They got the chocolate nom noms. Listen, I'm old school on you motherfuckers. Go to naturebox.com and look at the great selection of snacks. Nutritionist approved. They're fucking healthy. You could only eat five of them and seal them up. This shit fucking works. Go to naturebox.com and press in.
No, go to naturebox.com/Joey.
Boom. You don't have to press in dick. Go to naturebox.com/Joey. Fill out the fucking stuff and they'll send you a sampler box direct to your house for free. All you got to do is pay for shipping, maybe about $2. Don't fucking cry, all right? Nothing is life and free. Always remember that. At the end, you're always going to end up sucking somebody's dick. I'm just telling you right now in case they don't know it, Ada. And that's Ada's looking at me like, what the fuck's he talking about? I'll tell you what I'm talking about. Nature Box free. Blue Apron fucking free. Onnit.com, 10% off. And MeUndies, 20% off and free delivery. No sucky, no fucky. That's how we do it here on the church. I love you guys. I want to thank Ada one more time. Ada, where are you going the next 3 weeks?
Next, I'm going to Japan in 2 weeks to entertain the Marines. I'll be in Miami October 9th.
To Homestead?
Yeah.
And what's your website?
FunnyAida.com. FunnyAida.com.
You single, Ada?
I am.
If you think Ada's beautiful, hit me up on Twitter, maybe. Let me check you out. Let me do a background check. It's $69.95 to submit your little fucking paperwork to me and shit to check out Ada. Ada, you're looking very beautiful.
Thank you.
You're a true Latin fucking princess, and I wish you all the luck in the world.
Aw, thanks.
And thank you for giving me advice on, you know, my anger issues before I even get there with my daughter, because look at this fucking mummy of death. He's falling asleep. All right, I love you guys. I'm going to be at Wise Guys this weekend, and next weekend I'm going to be at Laugh Boston Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. One more time for Lee Syatt. One more time for Ada. One more time for Onnit, MeUndies, NatureBox.com, Blue Apron, Hitty Sigs. I love you all, man. NailedItLife.com. I love you all. Have a great week, all right? Stay black and beautiful. Just one on all of your time? Oh, okay. Anybody else want to do stuff? You want you coming late? I'm going to drop you off.
I don't know.
Fucked up.
This show is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron sends gourmet recipes and all the fresh ingredients you need to make them right to your door. Our listeners get their first two meals free. Just go to blueapron.com/Joey and start cooking incredible meals at home with blueapron.com/Joey. Go to MeUndies.com/Joey and get 20% off of their great underwear, shirts, shorts. When you go to, and you get 20% off when you go to MeUndies.com/Joey, and you get free shipping in the United States and Canada. And don't forget to go to naturebox.com and sign up to get your free sampler box of great tasting, healthy snacks. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with healthy and delicious treats like barbecue kettle kernels. Go to naturebox.com/Joey. That's naturebox.com/Joey. And go to onnit.com and use code church to get 10% off all the great optimization products.
Oh, shit.